it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 3, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in. Cowboys practice report was just sent out, and you do have Jermaine Johnson edge for the Jets, DNP there with his ankle situation. Braylon Allen has gone on IR. Michael Carter, a cornerback, DNP. And Mason Taylor, their tight end, has been limited the last 2 days. I think he is their tied for their second most receiving yards.
He's a good player.
LSU guy, right?
Yeah, LSU guy.
And then Cowboys, nothing changed from yesterday. Just a whole bunch of injured dudes and limited dudes. And here's Chief with your Sounds of the Sports Day.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. All right, we got some good ones in here for you today. I'm fired up about this. Wait till you hear the Throwback Thursday football clips of the day. I got two of them that I think are pretty all time. But we start with ESPN on ABC, where they're broadcasting the Padres and Cubs game, and they're teasing ESPN's NHL opening night coverage, trying to cross promote a little bit. We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben McDonald, the analyst on the broadcast.
LSU guy.
He was not having it.
And the Blackhawks return to the ice next Tuesday, NHL opening night against the defending champion Florida Panthers at 5 Eastern, 4 Central on ESPN. Triple header that night. Penguins, Rangers, Avalanche, Kings. Ben, I know you got an opinion on this. Panthers three-peat this year. What do you think?
If you say so, I mean, good luck to them. Are you asking if I'm going to be watching?
No, you'll be watching, of course, because you work for ESPN. You'll be watching Friday night. I'm
there is zero chance I'll be watching. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Where will you be?
I will be somewhere, but there's zero chance I'll be watching.
All right, thanks, Ben. We'll be watching. Thanks for the rating.
I do love the honesty there from Ben McDonald.
Yeah.
I will not be watching. Yeah. If you think the Panthers can get it done once again and go for the three-peat, then I'll take your word for it. I'm sure ESPN really appreciated that. Not much of a hockey guy.
Hey,
but ESPN's not much of hockey guys.
South Louisiana guy.
Yeah, that's probably, not really where the...
Probably not much of a hockey.
Where the ice...
I think, though, the ice skaters or something like that. I think we have a really creative name in Baton Rouge for our hockey team. I probably should have looked this up before I said it.
The Ice Cats?
Ice Skaters, something like that. Lucius, do you have a nickname for our Baton Rouge? I think we have a...
Yeah, everybody knows it's the Skating Cajuns.
The Skating Cajuns?
I bet that's probably it.
I believe Lucius when he says that.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Speaking of cross promotion, let's go ahead and do that right here because... We had the Anthony Davis story. He's putting on some LBs, and the morning show was discussing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis coming into camp a little bit heavier than usual. He's saying much to do about nothing. What is it? Did you find it? Is it the Skating Cajuns?
No, it's the Baton Rouge Zydeco's.
Hey!
All right. Yeah, you're close. Who's your next guess? Is that French for Raging Cajun?
Zydeco's. Yeah, Lucy's got it. It's that music, style of music.
Oh, cool.
What was it? The Buckwheat Zydeco.
Buckwheat Zydeco's, yeah. Yeah.
I bet those games are a heck of a time.
Hot and humid, probably. Well, maybe not.
How do they keep that ice?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How does that thing not become a slush fest down there?
So this is Sean letting us know that everything's fine with Anthony Davis. He's giving us some good basketball analysis here. If Anthony Davis is going to be a big man now and really dominate in the paint, then fine. Sean's cool with the bloated nature of his current body.
If Anthony Davis, if I knew that part of his offseason plan was, I'm going to start pounding dudes. I'm going to start backing up that rear end, I'm going to start back 3 seconds, 3 seconds, 3 seconds.
Caked up.
Bam.
Yeah. Is that a lot?
Explosion.
That's the basketball analysis you can get every morning.
Whew. Sounds like Sharif. RJ really liked it.
And RJ was really, he was like,
pound those guys.
He was like Zolak on those Patriots touchdown calls, man. really good basketball analysis right there, man. And we'll probably have our first rim session coming up here in the near future.
I never remember that working for a single hooper. Like, hey, I know I got to play Shaq. I'm going to put on 50 pounds of fat. This is going to go great.
If I just get a little bit fatter, I can be better at my job where I got to be a great athlete.
Yeah, you know, there will be some muscle involved here. I'm going to work out, be super doughy, and just, you know, step to Shaq. It ain't happening, bro. Your only chance is to get athletic and lean.
Especially
pounding that guy.
Especially for a guy that's been so banged up throughout his career, you would think like being lighter would be the best thing possible.
Yeah,
for a guy like Anthony Davis. Maybe need some body armor.
Yeah, maybe. We'll find out. Lean muscle? That'd be good body armor.
No, man. Body armor.
Throw that gut around a little bit. Yeah. Watch how it can work for you.
It only works for Patrick Mahomes, to my understanding.
Yeah, he's the one guy that's defying that right now.
Yeah, he's Taco Bell built.
Was Dak kind of a heavier quarterback initially?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But he was kind of like, he was husky, but he was husky everywhere. It wasn't just like, oh, and then here's our quarterback with the
carried gun, it well.
Like Ben Roethlisberger or something. Like Dak was, he was strong.
He was a big guy.
Like, he was definitely on the thicker side of things. But
and if you evolve as an athlete like Luka Doncic, you know, being over 20% body fat for the majority of your life, you learn how to operate with that, or you've proven I can operate with that. You take a super lean guy, start pounding on that extra weight. You know,
not the easiest thing to adapt to.
No, it's a completely different deal.
Okay, to the world of college football, we had Lane Kiffin beating LSU. LSU has a linebacker that's dating his daughter. We all found out about that.
Whit Weeks.
This is Whit Weeks, the LSU linebacker. Apparently, he was vomiting during the game because Ole Miss was cranking up the tempo so much. Here was Lane Kiffin on Pardon My Take.
Hey, man, we got to win the game, you know, and even though I embraced it and he's a great kid and everything, we might have increased the tempo just a little bit, you know, like 50 plays in the first half, you know, see if we can get this guy to throw up, you know.
So he cranked up the tempo quite a bit.
He did.
We knew that he had something up his sleeve for the boyfriend of his daughter who played for the opposing team. Like he was going to find a way to get him in.
She was cheering for Ole Miss.
They
showed her, yeah. She's sure for Ole Miss. After the game.
After the game, of course, when Ole Miss wins. All right, I'm an Ole Miss fan.
You know, she was with her family members cheering for Ole Miss.
I just love that from a sports dad standpoint. Like, he had an opportunity to make a statement here and literally has the guy vomiting during the game because he's just running so much tempo and attacking.
Is this your king?
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Like, I think every dad would love that opportunity. Like, hey, no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
We're just, we're in the throes of competition. I'm trying to win, but also I'm trying to let you know who's daddy.
Clearly not the one here for you, honey.
Yeah, that's true. Got to start thinking about that. I can't imagine being, and I was exhausted in some games, and I threw up at some practices, whatever conditioning, but vomiting in a game. I remember watching Riley Dodge do that for Southlake. Yeah. And I don't know if he was exhausted or if he just had an upset tummy.
Sometimes you drink.
I think that was a state championship game.
Sometimes you drink too much Gatorade.
It can be an anxiety thing, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
Where it's pregame, you know, it's just like.
Oh, yeah, pregame puke or
the
whatever.
Butterflies.
Yes.
This was a pure exhaustion of vomit. It could have been, you know, playing girlfriend's dad. There could have been a lot going on, creating a butterfly type of situation. As a dad, I think you want your kids to root for the same teams, or if I'm coaching a team, can you support this team? But at some point, they're going to rebel, and I think you have to encourage that. You know, but it really got to me about 4 years ago when Abby was on the NBA YouTube just watching nonstop Kobe and Shaq videos, like the documentaries were coming out, and she decided she wanted to be a Lakers fan. And it floored me because the Lakers are my number one hate watch in the history of sports by far.
Mm-hmm.
And I just laid low. You know, I didn't want to be too over heavy handed because as a dad, you get heavy handed with the boyfriend. Next thing you know, it makes her like him more.
Yes. Yes.
You got to be careful with these kind of deals.
Yeah. You got to act.
Lucius used to troll me with that all the time.
He did, dude.
I mean, it set me off. It was triggering. You know, right. Anything Laker or Kobe related.
So you just had to kind of keep your mouth shut a little bit and then just let that that seasonal
infatuation just run its course.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of trends, but I think you can almost traumatize it into permanence if you have too strong of a reaction as a dad.
Yes. Yeah, that's a pro tip right there. Veteran move. Thank you for that.
You got it.
Now we head to the podium in Tampa where Baker Mayfield is at the mic and he's about to square off versus Sam Darnold. This is a fun game. It's a big game this weekend. Bucks Seahawks, two of the upper tier teams in the NFC. No question. Now, Baker and Sam, this is a bit of a reunion for them because they were teammates together, if you remember, in Carolina. Now, that was not a great stay for either one of those guys, but this is him asked about reminiscing on the good old days with Sam and their time together in Carolina.
Reminisce about the good old days in Carolina? What are you talking about?
Reminisce about what days?
Good old days in Carolina.
Oh, nope. No, we don't.
the what days? Those were not good days for me. When I think of Baker Mayfield in Carolina, don't we all think about the same thing? Yeah. Where he's playing practice squad edge rusher?
Oh, that's right.
He's got his hand in the dirt.
Bro. That was rock bottom for him.
That was absolutely rock bottom. Yeah. Believe it or not, it wasn't Cleveland. It was playing scout team edge rusher for the Carolina Panthers. And now he's just throwing touchdowns to Emeka Igbuka. What a turnaround. What a turnaround for both those guys.
Yeah, him and Sam Darnold. Yeah, get there, do that. You know, when it looks like your career is over and you're going to have to go be the failure back home in your college town or whatever, or hey, you know, sorry it didn't work out for you in the NFL, to suddenly you're considered one of the top 10, top 15 players in the game, got to be an incredible relief.
Yes.
Like, holy crap, that was close. I started to doubt myself.
Wasn't that the same season? Didn't he go from Carolina to L.A. to play with the Rams, and then on a short week, on a Thursday night game, makes his first start, and it's a comeback victory versus the Raiders, because the Raiders do Raiders things.
Yeah.
That was the turning point. That was the Gavin Dawson turning point in the Baker Mayfield career. How about that? All right, two throwback Thursday football clips of the day. We start with Broaddus's head coach, Brian Kelly. This is when he was at Notre Dame. Notre Dame had just lost to FSU, and I can't believe he said this.
What did you think of your team's ability to withstand Florida State's impressive comeback?
Yeah, I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
That was Brian Kelly talking about his football players.
He actually was trying to steal a line from John McKay, who said it with Tampa Bay when he was the first year coach at Tampa. And he said, Coach, what'd you think of your execution? He says, I believe in execution of my team. He was basically, he was trying to steal a John McKay line. I'm in favor of execution.
A much more violent
of my team,
misquoting there.
Yeah, very violent, yeah.
Okay, now this one popped up courtesy of our buddy Mike Sando of The Athletic.
Yeah, Mike likes us.
Yes, and this is not some sound I had ever heard. I would imagine you guys haven't either. Maybe Broaddus has. Yeah. This goes back to the New Orleans Saints when they were absolutely terrible, and it was Jim Mora Sr.
Oh, yeah.
As their head coach.
Yeah.
This guy, I mean, he's known for the playoffs rant, right, with the Colts.
He's got some good ones.
This one right here, let's play a game called Count the S-Bombs. This was after a training camp practice.
Dean told me he blew his knee out. Okay. You know, you got to block people on a screen. He gets the ball out there, and two guys, big old animals, nail his ass. It's ridiculous. We run a screen before that, and we get our ass nailed.
Scales, coaches.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, Dean said he couldn't put any weight on his leg. That didn't sound too good to me. We're down. You know, we're down in back. We're down in everything. We don't have enough people right now. Be hard to practice next week effectively.
Pink it done for the year, you think?
I don't know. Dean told me it looked like he tore two knee ligaments. That doesn't sound very encouraging.
Do you take into account at all the fact that they bear?
I don't take into account All I take into account is they kicked our ass today. That's what I take into account.
Stowers?
Well, let me just tell you something. He looked pretty good, right? They cut him before they came to camp. The Kansas City Chiefs cut Stowers before they came to camp. Looked pretty good for us. Maybe that shows you the difference between our team and their team. I don't know.
Will you go back to
what do you guys think about that? You, pretty good indication, right? They won't even bring him to camp. He looks like a star of the day for the Saints.
Can you change the focus of practice?
Depends if we got anybody that can practice. You know, we can line up and do something.
Jim, was the effort there today? Did you?
It was all right. You know, Buford Jordan goes in there and gets a little hit and knocks the ball out. Head gets in there, gets a little hit, ball goes out. I don't know if that's effort or not. It's horse ball carrying, I know that. Horse
Is that not incredible, dude?
Dean Kleinschmidt, the trainer at the Saints, is a great guy, too.
Yeah.
He's talking about everything. Dean?
Yeah,
he's
Dean.
Dean Kleinschmidt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what a great guy. Great guy. Yeah.
Jim That's Mora. Incredible, dude.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah. It kind of sounded like if Tom Landry was a cusser.
Yeah. Those coaches back in the day, man.
Characters.
Seriously, man.
Doing bits up there, doing routines.
They just...
And they, like, do you know how funny you're being right now?
I don't think so.
They don't.
They hadn't found the mindfulness to sort of rein it in yet.
They don't. They really don't. Yeah. They're just seriously, like, they're asking the reporters, like, what did you think? He's like, hey, the guy wasn't good enough to be on the Chiefs. What do you mean?
That is frustration and urgency and intensity all snowballing on you to a point that.
But he turned that team around, though, man. He had the Dome Patrol in the 80s. Yeah. He turned that thing around.
A couple of good years there between brown bags.
Yeah, he did. He did a good job.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.